In Proverbs 31, which is, of course, a very wonderful passage which speaks to us about mothers, and so we want to speak of that this morning. Proverbs 31, I'll be reading in verse 10 through the end of the chapter. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth food to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her lamp goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Well, this, of course, is a wonderful passage which speaks to us of the ideal portrait of the virtuous woman. And perhaps, as we look at the scripture, we find it a little bit beyond our reach, only because God wants to show us the ideal things that we might reach for them and seek them in our own lives. And we find that mothers do have a desire to fulfill all of those kinds of things that are spoken of here in this passage. Mothers want to take care of their husbands. Mothers want to love their children and meet the needs of the children. And mothers who do love the Lord want to fear the Lord. That is, they want to set a proper tone for themselves and for their own children in the behalf of their family and their husband. So this is an ideal, of course, that is held up in Scripture. Was there such a woman as is mentioned here? Well, we know that was written by the inspiration of the Word of God. And so, in that sense, yes, there is such a woman. And we know that we can fulfill those things only as we trust in God. I'd like to just read the brief poem of sorts on the back of your bulletin, because I think it really does go along very nicely with what is being said here in Proverbs 31. And it kind of brings it into context, because this woman who wrote this evidently was a 90-year-old grandmother, And so she talks about her labors in the sense of her hands. She says, "My hands, though wrinkled and weak, are tools I have used all my life to reach and to grab and embrace life. They caught my fall as a toddler. I stumbled and fell. They put food in my mouth and clothes on my back. They tied my shoelaces, and my mother taught me to fold them in prayer. They held my husband and wiped my tears when he went off to war. Decorated with my wedding band, they showed the world that I was married and loved someone special. They were uneasy and clumsy as I held my newborn son. They have been dirty, scraped, raw, and swollen as I was worked to provide a comfortable home and healthy meals for my family. They wrote letters to loved ones and trembled when I stood before their graves. They have held children and grandchildren and consoled my neighbors when they needed a loving touch. To this day, when not much else works well, these hands continue to fold in prayer as I bring the concerns of my heart to my loving Heavenly Father." Now see, that is really kind of the sense of what this passage is talking about here. The labors of a mother that loved the Lord. The labors of a mother who throughout her lifetime have been given to the service of her family and the service of those that she loved in her family and even her neighbors and friends and of her own relationship to the Lord. And so as we look at this passage here in Proverbs 31, it is not to, in any sense, should any mother feel guilty that they don't measure up to the ideal, because we find that we are all in the business of somehow trying to live up to what the Lord requires of us and how that He would bless us. And so that sense is something that every person shares. But we want to just look at this along three areas. First of all, this woman, this mother, she loves her husband, a mother that loves her husband. Well, of course, a mother is a wife, and that is where it, of course, begins. And so as we look at verse 10 through 20, we see that she is a woman who loves her husband, and so she cares for her husband and wants to meet the husband's need. Also, in verses 21 to 29, she loves her children. And, of course, as we look at the passage a little more closely in a few moments, we find that in this particular culture and society to which the book of Proverbs was written, that it applied to her whole household. To her children, yes, but to every part of those who served in the house. And, of course, in that particular culture, in the patriarchal culture, there was an extended sense of the family, as there were many families that were knit together, and so there were servants and maidens and so forth in the more extended family, and the more wealthy the family might have been, the greater the servants and so forth. But there was care given to the whole family. And then thirdly, at the end of the chapter, we find that she loves the Lord. Well, of course, this is the underlying feature of a mother and a wife who wants to care for her family, is that she loves the Lord. And we know that this is true because all of those kinds of things that bring devotion to a husband and bring devotion to children is that love of God. And God gives His love unto each of us in in many different ways. And to mothers, the love of God is given within the heart of a mother to love her husband, to love her children, and to want to fulfill all of those kinds of responsibilities that have to do with the family. And so the love that she has is given to her by God. And so we want to recognize that. First of all, let's look at verses 12 through 20, or verse 10 through 20, I should say. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Well, you notice that first statement is written in a form of a question. I think it calls us our attention that the virtuous woman is a prized woman. That is, she is of great value, because as the writer to the Proverbs here brings out, he says, "For her price is far above rubies." You might think of, you know, the rubies and the stones of value, and you might even have a beautiful ruby ring or a necklace or something like that. And we know that those kinds of things are very valuable to ladies and to anybody. But the woman herself is more valuable than the gems which sometimes people prize and have in possession. Why? Because look at the worth of a mother and a wife who loves her family. Certainly it goes beyond the natural material things of life. In fact, when we consider the value of a true home, it isn't the material things in the home which make it so wonderful. It is a loving mother, a loving wife. It is a family that gets along and enjoys life together. It is a family that is not broken, but rather is mended together by love. And we find that this is the epitome, if you will, of the true value of the family. And even today, as we look into our culture, we find that mothers are most significant in the holding together of families in the home. In fact, the first person that the children always look to usually is the mother, because she is the one who is the nurturer, and she raised the children, and she has that loving concern for the children, somewhat different than a father has. Though a father has love for the children, the mother has a mother's nurturing love, and so it is a very special love indeed. And so we find that she is very valued in all of this. And verse 11, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Here the emphasis is on trust. And the wife is so valuable in the home that the husband naturally wants to place his trust in her. Why? Because, well, usually the husband has to go off to work. And so who is left with the responsibility of the children but the mother? And so the husband should trust the mother in that sense. And so the heart of the husband is to trust in the mother. And so I think that shows also the kind of relationship there is between the wife and the husband. It is a relationship where they are brought together and knit together in that love of the family, and they want to trust one another. The wife wants to trust the husband wants to trust the wife, and she wants to bring forth those kinds of things that would make the family better. And as it says there in verse 11, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Well, we know the spoils were often brought in through war. That is, things from the outside. How much better it is, we might think, if a family can be self-sustaining. And we might think of that today. How are families self-sustaining? Well, they're self-sustaining because of the kind of relationship there is in the home. They're self-sustaining because a mother loves her husband. They're self-sustaining because a mother loves her children. They're self-sustaining because they're not looking to for outside resources to help them so much, but they're looking to their own strength as a family, and they want to encourage that and be blessed in their own family. And this is the sense here that we should get from this. The true resources of the family come from the husband and the wife working together, and of their bringing all of their efforts together into one effort as to raise the family. In verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And so here we have that sense of longevity. As we read that little poem on the back of the bulletin there, certainly this woman who was some 90 years old, who reflected upon her life, there is a sense of longevity to the life. Well, as we get a few years on to our lives and some experience, we have that sense of longevity. That is, we have that sense of staying together and loving and fulfilling the requirements of the home and of meeting the needs of the home. In other words, if one is to have a family and one is to have children, it cannot be done overnight. It must be a process, one where the family works together and lives together. And so we find that through the course of the experiences of life, then more and more of that trustworthy, persevering nature and willingness to work and to fulfill is seen. In verse 13, she worketh, she seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. Now, see, here is again the expression of the hands. The hands are very busy in a home, aren't they? From the time that the mother gets up in the morning, she's doing things, whether it's cleaning or preparing clothes, or whether it's preparing meals, or making certain plans for the day, for her family. There is all kinds of things, even in our 21st century culture to which we live, that a mother must do. And what with the change of our society, we find that mothers sometimes have quite a bit of things to prepare for. They may be working out somewhere and need to get ready for work, and so they have to do a lot of things before they can even leave to go to work, and so certain preparations have to be done. For young mothers, it might be getting their little children ready for daycare. For older mothers, it may be for providing in some way for the husband so that he can fulfill his responsibilities in the home. But whatever it might be, we find that the mother works with her hands, and she is a mother of duty and of responsibility, and she loves to do this. It is part of what she does, and she finds that all these things are satisfying and that they are glorifying to the Lord and do bless her family, and she loves to bless her family. In verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Of course, in the culture to which the book of Proverbs is written, we can think of the merchant ships perhaps coming in to port, and a mother might be aware of that, and so she senses there is a new shipment of grain or of other kinds of produce that is coming in from the tropics, perhaps, to the east. And she wants to make her purchases so she can bring them back home. There are many aspects that perhaps we can't even think of, perhaps the kinds of things that have to do with clothing and how she might obtain the kinds of materials to make clothes. But all of that which pertains to merchandise and how that she might better her family as a part of that culture to which she was in. But what about today and the kinds of things that go on today? It just seems that the more that women are involved in buying and providing for their home, there is such a diversity of it today. Today, one might buy online. One might go to the supermarket, local supermarket. One might go to a department store. One might have to drive to some other kind of a venue where they can buy things. Even the farmers markets and various other kinds of avenues of purchasing, sometimes women will go at great lengths to try to fulfill their responsibilities to the home. And this is no small thing, of course. And it is something that most mothers and wives are involved in. And that they love to do this. In fact, you know, hunting out a bargain is one of the things that most women just love to do. They love to find something that is a bargain and to even share it with other people, which is great. And in our society, we find that something that is just as easily sought after in our merchandising today, too. One doesn't have to go to the port of entry to do that. We have so many different avenues of being able to go out and to get those kinds of goods and services for our family. In verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth food to her household and a portion to her maids. And so she loves her husband, but then she also loves her family or her children. And so what is she doing here? She is diligent in rising early. She takes care of her immediate family, and she wants to meet the needs of the family. And so she's preparing food, a lot of food, no doubt. And when you have small families, you do prepare a lot of food. I remember when our family was real young and all the children were home, it seems like it was a constant chore just to keep something on the table for everybody. And hungry mouths coming home from school, or as the husband comes home at night and there has to be food on the table for everybody, it's a constant chore trying to get enough food to feed everyone. And so all you mothers can appreciate that. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth food to her household and a portion to her maidens. And then, of course, in the culture to which we're talking about here in Proverbs 31, there was this sense of the extended family of those who served in the household as well, the maidens. In verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. Well, probably most of wives wouldn't go out today and buy another piece of property just to plant a vineyard. But you might have a little garden out back. You might be looking forward in the spring of the year when you can get a little piece of property worked up and you can plant some tomatoes. Maybe you do that and put some lettuce in and maybe have some of those little vegetable areas. And, of course, in today's culture, too, you can there's a lot of gardening which goes on in various small planters. You can buy planters and put various kinds of fruit and vegetables in those and plant them and raise them. And it's just another avenue that the wife can pursue, that she might provide some things for the home. And you might like to have that fresh lettuce on a sandwich, or you might like to have a little bit of radishes to go with your salad, or maybe you hope to have some cherry tomatoes to go in your salad, and a number of things like that. And those are all good, and those are a great blessing to the family. And add an awful lot to the table, of course, when you sit down together. In verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. I see in verse 17 there is a sense of resilience to the mother. Most mothers are very resilient people. That is, that they don't give up easily. There is a sense of persevering in the things that they do. I think we should gain that from this sense of girding her loins about her. That is, she is a strong person of personality, and so she has to be in order to raise a family and to raise her children. And any mother that have raised up little children, it is that kind of a challenge where you're continually challenged every single day with those little ones. And what you can do to try to overcome some of the problems that relate to raising little children and the kinds of things you have to do to nurture them and to teach them and to train them and so forth. And so there is that sense that her arms need to be strong and she has to carry a lot of load, as it were, she tries to take care of her family. Also, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her lamp goeth not out by night. And so here the sense of the long hours to which mothers sometimes work. And the old saying that the husband works from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. Most women can relate to that quite adequately. And realize that there is always something more to do that must be done for the family. And so there is that sense that the lamp goeth not out by night. So we appreciate those kinds of things that wives and mothers have done and continue to do to provide for the family. And so she loves her children. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Well, of course, in the culture to which we're talking about here, the spindle and the distaff had to do with spinning the wool into a material that might be used to make clothing, linen, as it were. And so it was a constant laborious task to continue to work at that. And I think of June, she's always knitting there. That I'm sure you learned to do that at a very young age, June, and became much of a habit to you to continue to accomplish things by that laborious work. Well, that's in the sense, that's the gist of what this is talking about. As soon as you can imagine in this particular agrarian culture, as soon as the mother gets through preparing meals, then what does she do? She went down and she sat down at the spindle and the distaff, and she began to work at that. And when the time for perhaps some of the children to come home or the husband to come home, she might give that up and she would go do another job and try to work all these various tasks together. Today we call it multitasking, I don't think that's any modern invention, multitasking. I think perhaps mothers have done that for generations, you know, the idea of multitasking, doing more than one thing at once, and carrying on a whole regiment of kinds of things that had to be done. And so we find that she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her lamp goeth not out by night, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. And then verse 20, she stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And so this is, in this sense, we find that her love for her husband and her love for her children also give her a sense of caring for other people as well. That is, there are many people who are in need. And one of the principles in the Old Testament economy was to take care of the widows and orphans, and it was to be kind and loving to your neighbor as well as to your own family. And I'm sure that you can relate to this. Today we have a kind of a modern rendition of it, I think, in the community getting together many times to do certain things, like the kinds of food pantries and the kinds of provisions which are done through clothing barns and various kinds of community efforts to provide for people who have need. We see a lot of that going on today. And, of course, that is a good work that people are involved in. And a lot of people volunteer in those kinds of things, in thrift stores and food pantries and clothing barns and various other kinds of helps to people. And we see that really that continues. I think we just continue to reinvent the kinds of things that we do to help others. I know that the kinds of neighborhood outreach to people seems to be taking on more of a community effort in our society right now. And I think that it does give a great benefit to people. And many, many mothers, of course, are involved in this kind of thing, because they sense that there is a need not only for their own family but for the needs of others. I know my wife, as she works in the postal system, they were collecting donations of food even through the postal system. People could leave bags and boxes of food out for the post person, the postal driver, to pick up and to carry back to the post office, and they would somehow distribute them from there. So many of these organizations are involved in this kind of thing, and it has a value to it. Also in verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Now, I guess that relates to the area of keeping your family warm and comfortable in bad weather. In New England, we all can relate to snow and to the time when snow comes and the preparations we have to have sometimes to prepare for that kind of weather. Here is a mother in this particular culture in the Old Testament. She realizes the snow is coming, the cold weather is coming. There's going to have to be clothing to keep the children warm, and she's working toward that end. I remember years ago when I was just a little kid myself, my grandmother, she was doing what June is doing right now. She was knitting, but she was always knitting mittens. And she would knit mittens for every one of the grandchildren. Every single grandchildren would get a pair of mittens when it came time for snow, so that they could go out and play in the snow. Or a scarf, or, you know, something like that, or an afghan, or something like that. You know, she would always doing that sort of thing. And it was just part of what she did for the children when it came to be snow. And who was a grandmother but a mother with grandchildren? So we know that mothers and grandmothers think very much alike along that line of taking care of those who have some need when it comes to be cold weather. In verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. In other words, she doesn't forget that she needs to have proper clothing herself. And so she reserves some certain kinds of clothing to wear for her household. And what woman doesn't like to have a nice dress in the closet a nice suit or some various other kinds of clothing to put on and to make her family pleased with how she appears and her husband pleased with how she is dressing. What does this show? This shows it shows pride in the home and in the family. And it shows that there is love in the family, love to take care and love to look good and love to be presentable. And, of course, this is what mothers do for the children, too. They don't want their children to go off to school looking like they just came out of the grab bag, so to speak. They want them to be presentable, and so they try to clothe the children adequately, and so she also tries to clothe herself adequately. So she makes herself these kinds of coverings, clothing, if you will, and clothing that would represent her well to her husband. In verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. And here is that sense of family reputation, because the husband is also an active part of the community. When it talks about the gates, of course, it was a place of judgment and a place of responsibility in the community. And he may have hold a particular office. He may meet in a particular area with the other men of the town, and they would talk about things that needed to be done. And so there was a sense of eldership in those things, and he was a part of that. And today, of course, in New England, we have the town meetings. You know, we have selectmen or select people, and we have those offices within the town where people can go and they can voice their opinion, where they can share their views, where they can help bring suggestions to the table, where they can be a part of the local governing body of the community. And I think that also is a good thing, as people have responsibilities in their towns to give some communication to those who are running the affairs. And that's what verse 23 indicates. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Here again, she not only provides for her own family, but she has some other kinds of merchandise that she wants to sell. And perhaps you have been involved in entrepreneurship yourself. Women also are very good entrepreneurs, of course. They're very capable to have businesses on their own. And many of them have developed wonderful businesses. And we find this today, that there is more and more women who are involved in entrepreneurship, and they begin to merchandise the kinds of things that they are able to do. Some people are very craft-worthy in what they accomplish, and some of them are very good artisans in what they make. And we find this, of course, in today's society. And it was no different in that particular culture to which we're talking about in Proverbs. It might have been a little bit more rare in the sense that a woman would go and to sell things in that particular culture. But if she had those kinds of resources at her disposal, then she had the means to not only merchandise those kinds of things, but to provide them for others. And we know that women, when they work with fine linens and so forth, they produce a very fine-looking product, too. I know that, again, women are able to make by various kinds of knitting or crocheting or tatting, as some of the work is called tatting, and some of it is a very fancy work. I knew a lady in Ossipee who tatted. That is, there's a little small device that she used. It wasn't like knitting by any means. It's almost like tying knots. And she tatted, and she made a very delicate little things that could be sold. And I think she did sell them as well. And she also had some sheep, and I think she harvested her own wool, and she spun it herself, and she even used some of that in the tatting, which she did. Well, that's quite unique, isn't it, that somebody should do that? And this is the kind of thing that people who are interested in this kind of entrepreneurship. And and this woman that's being held up here in this sense, this woman, she's able to accomplish these things as well. In verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. In comparison to the way she works at home, the way she produces things through spindle and distaff, or the way she merchandises things, comparison to that, verse 25 says, strength and honor are her true clothing. Now, I think this is really interesting when we think about this, because to have strength and honor is, these aren't tangible items. These are things that have to be worked out through character of life. I think that's the thing that women should prize most about what they do, to working out those things they do by character of life. And as they begin to work those things out and are true to their husband, to their children, to the responsibilities of home, the character of life becomes strength and honor. And so her clothing is strength and honor. And she shall rejoice in time to come. That is, there is a certain fruit that comes through character of life. But it must take some time to bring it forth. That is, it won't happen overnight. And so young mothers become experienced mothers. And experienced mothers become grandmothers. And grandmothers are like this particular lady that we read the comment about. She is a woman who has proven herself and continues to have strength of character throughout her life. In the last sense of this passage here, she loves the Lord. So she loves her husband, she loves her children and family, and she loves her Lord. The underlying feature then is that she loves the Lord. And how should we interpret this kind of thing? Well, we know in the Old Testament economy, to love the Lord was to trust in the Lord. It was to fulfill the requirements of the commandment of God. It was, in other words, it began in the family. That kind of thing that had to do with love for the Lord began in the family. It didn't begin outside the family. It began in the family. Why? Because the wife had to be true to her husband. Because the wife had to be true to her children. Because the wife had to show certain responsibility and labor to her family. And that is the beginning basis where one realizes that they are being true to God, is to their family. And so, though there is more to it than that, we might say, in the sense that one must worship the Lord with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and truly keep the idea of the Decalogue in the Old Testament, we know that a virtuous woman was a woman who loved her family and so fulfilled the love she had for the Lord. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. So, in other words, wisdom and kindness, these are key words to the book of Proverbs. In fact, we find that wisdom is personified as a woman in the book of Proverbs. And the idea of kindness here is not only to her family, but to others around her. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. And, of course, in the book of Proverbs, the idle person is a slothful person. But, you see, the industrious person is one who looketh well to her household and is not idle. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and her praise, he praises her. And this is that sense where that strength of character that she's clothed with, like strength and honor, she shall rejoice in time to come. Well, when little children are little, of course, they don't do much to praise mommy. They come to mommy and they want things from mommy. They want to be fed. They want to be clothed. They want to be changed. They want a hug. And all of those kinds of things. But what happens later on when they're grown up? Then they have the praise and appreciation for mom, that because mom has loved them all these years and taken care of them, you see. And so that praise is one which accumulates over time and is the reward of the strength and honor of the mother. And so it is, she looks well to her household, and her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband praises her because she's been this woman of great character and trustworthiness. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. And again, like I said, this passage is that which shows the ideal. It shows that which one is to reach for and strive for and show the excellency of life. So he brings that out here. Verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Well, perhaps we're reminded of the book of Ecclesiastes, as some think that maybe even this passage was written by Solomon. We're not exactly sure, as we don't have a direct authorship of this particular chapter. But we know that Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, and Solomon spoke much about the vanities of life. And that at the end of life, we know that the things that truly matter are those things which have been established by God and in the home and in the family and in the personal life. And those are the kinds of things that we see here. In the home and the family and the personal life, the virtuous woman is all these things. And remember, that's the ideal that he sets forth here. And so favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And then finally in verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. In other words, she's known. She is a woman who is known by her character. She is known by the way she has taken care of her family. She is known by the way she loves her husband. She is known by the things that she has done, by the strength of character that she has set forth. Everybody knows her. In small communities, everybody does know you, of course. I was just talking to somebody this week and was meeting with them and talking to them about a particular issue. And she said, well, we just moved to the area not too long ago. And I went down to the town office and I told them such and such I wanted to do. And I said, well, and she said, well, I live up on this road and in town. And said, and the lady in the town office says, yeah, we know who you are. Everybody knows everybody in a small town. And that is true. That may be an advantage as well as a liability in some sense in small communities, that everybody knows everybody. But if one is seeking to love the Lord and to serve God in ways, it will soon be known how your character is. And the fruit of her hands, let her own works praise her in the gates. Remember, the gates is talking about the place of leadership in the community. People know you in the community. This is another reason why that it is good to be known as a virtuous woman and a virtuous husband and someone who loves the Lord, because everybody knows you. Ultimately, everybody knows you. And you may not think that they know you, but in truth, they know you. Even though you may not have that really, really close communication with them that you have with other people, like your children or your husband, yet they know who you are and they know how you've lived and they take particular note of that. And so this is that ideal woman that Proverbs talks about. And those qualities which she possesses are something for us to emulate. And they are something for us to realize that God wants us to speak about, to honor mothers, because mothers have these qualities. And it's not to diminish the ideal. It is to realize that each one of us strive in the service for the Lord to be true to God and to set forth those kinds of things that would be pleasing to the Lord. And that is all that it is meant to accomplish for us. That we are to read these things, realize that it is how that we please God through the setting forth of these principles and seeking to live them out to the glory of God. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we do thank you for mothers. We thank you, Father, that you bless mothers through their families. We thank you, Father, that you bless husbands through the love of mothers and how that she cares for her family. And Lord, we know that you are at work in the hearts and lives of children. And we just pray, Father, that you will continue to bring the children back to that they may appreciate their mothers, that they may show proper respect to their mom and may seek to give the praise to the mother that she deserves for all her hard labor which she has labored over the years. And we just thank you, Father, for motherhood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.